eyes that in the heavenly realms they're singing a song of holy, holy, holy God. All the praise and the worship and the honour and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. They're consistently singing holy, holy, holy God. Oh, thank you for changing us, Lord. Oh, just let us meditate upon where you've taken us from this morning, Lord. Let us meditate upon the things you've brought us out of, Lord. Let us meditate upon the pride that we had, that we thought we could take ourselves out of those things. Let us meditate upon the fact that we had nothing, you had everything. Let us meditate on the fact, Lord, that because we have nothing, we are qualified. And we just thank you, Jesus. And this morning we say to you, Lord, we give up our lives again. Oh, Lord, that you would come, that you would have your way in our lives. Oh, that Father, you would come and you would kill all the fleshly ambitions in our hearts. We would pick up our cross and walk with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, that we would walk around in wonder. That we would drive our cars in wonder of who you are. We'd go about our days, even on our worst day, we would have a joy unspeakable. Even in our worst days where we completely feel like everything's raging against us, we would have joy unspeakable and peace that surpasses knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just welcome you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just recognize you this morning, Jesus. We recognize you as Lord over all things. We recognize that we are like vapor, God, without you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to stay in this. Come on, thank you, Lord. We go far beyond today where we've gone before. You know, it says that you can boldly go before the throne of grace. And the Lord's been speaking to me about this, that when you go before the throne of grace, in Revelation 22 it says this, that the throne of God has a river coming out of it. A river coming out of it. And so, Lord, we want to get on the super slides of heaven. We want to go in with boldness and come out with glory. We want to enter in, Lord, and I just pray like I prayed last night, Lord. I just see the treasury of heaven open. And the Lord is saying right now, walk into the treasury of heaven. And don't just be a... But the Lord's saying this morning, let's not be scabs. Yeah. Oh, I'll just take one thing from heaven and that's all I need, Lord. No, no, no. The Lord's saying, take shopping trolleys, back up your lorries in there and just grab everything that you need. So we just, by faith now, we enter heaven and we enter the treasury of heaven and everything that we need to overcome, everything we need for our destiny and calling, we pull it off the shelves. Be like a bull in a china shop in the heavenly courts and just take what is yours by Christ. It's by him, it's for him, and it's through him. And so we just go to that treasury right now, Lord. And we take what is rightfully ours by your righteousness, God. Come on, Lord. Just go shopping in heaven right now. Just take what you need, the Lord says. Sons and daughters, come and take what you need. Sons and daughters, come and take what you need. Jesus, we thank you, Father, for opening every door that only you can open. We thank you that no man can open the doors that you can open. No woman, Lord, and we just declare thank you, Jesus, for closing every door that no one else can open, God. That you open every door that no one else can close. And you close doors that no one else can open. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for us this morning that a closed door in our life would be so fantastic to us, God. It'd be the same as when we get an open door. A closed door from you would be so fantastic, God. We would say, thank you for closing that door, God. Thank you that my flesh died at the doorstep. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I pray for you now. I pray that when people come into your houses, I ask you to pray over your doors when you go home. That when people walk through that door with depression, it's gone in the name of Jesus. When they walk through that door with anxiety, it's gone in the name of Jesus. I pray that people would walk into your houses and be slain in the spirit as they go through the door and wake up saved and say, I just met Jesus Christ. Where is he? He's here. Pray over your doors. Pray that when people walk through that doorway, they would encounter Jesus. What are we praying for, church? Oh Lord, that when people come through with cancer, God, that the cancer will be removed as they walk in the door. If someone had faith to believe that you are higher and mightier than anyone, Lord. The most far gone relationship, we pray that as they go through the door, that holiness, God, will be released. That forgiveness, Lord. That your mercy, your kindness, Lord. You pour it out, God. Oh, we pray, Father, when the lost come through our doors, they would be saved. Oh, Lord, I just thank you, Father. What are we dreaming about today? Oh, thank you, Lord, that we're going to start to see unusual things happening. Thank you, Lord, that when we're watching the television, when we're watching the live TV, and all of a sudden the presenter says, Jesus is King. And then they have to go off air because they've destroyed the whole program. Come on. Jesus, we thank you. So many people are so worried about World War III and World War IV. You know what we're worried about? Nothing. Because in Christ, he's coming and he's going to rule. You know, people say it's going to be it's going to be the worst time before Jesus returns. No, it's going to be the worst time for the world. It's going to be the greatest time for the church. We declare we're going to be partying. We're going to be thanking Jesus. We're going to be having hallelujah moments. And all the world is going to turn and see that the King's bride is pure and white. Thank you, Lord. Oh, this country's going to bomb this country. And Jesus said, don't worry about any of these things. He said, I'm coming to rule. I'm coming to reign. And I've got a great party happening in heaven that I'm going to bring to the earth through my sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those today, those who are going to pass to the other side today, wherever they are in this region, God. Oh, that you would encounter them, Lord, before they leave. Lord, ones that have never even thought about you. Ones that have used their whole life to war against you, Lord. That you would encounter them, Lord, with kindness and grace. And that they would be saved before they meet the other side, Lord. Oh, we contend for those who are on death's door. And we ask you, Father, resurrect them or save them in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. That we would hear testimonies of people who are on death's door, Lord. And all of a sudden they came out of their circumstance, Lord, and they said, Jesus is King. Oh, Lord, let's pray with faith today, church, that we would see God do outstanding things. We just thank you, Lord.
alive to them without having to say anything about Jesus. As people come into your presence, they will get the idea that will heal this disease. They will get the idea that will change this format. They'll get the idea for this policy. Whatever it is, God, we pray that you release outstanding solutions and inventions through your sons and daughters. I pray that as you're sitting in a cafe this week and having an incredible nice coffee, maybe you like Jason or a vanilla latte. But as you're doing it, I pray that you will know that every single person that's in your area of influence in that place is getting influenced by God. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone here who deal with millions of dollars. There's someone here that deal with $10. But the Lord wants us to be people who are expecting that He's going to move. Those who are stewarding over much, oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible says that if you are faithful with a small thing, it doesn't say He's going to give you much. He said, I will make you ruler over much. So Lord, let us be faithful with a small thing. For you said that you will make us ruler over much. All for your kingdom purposes today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. We want to try and preach something. Thank you, Lord. Hang out here. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your prayers for last night. Kath and I, the kids, went down to Wollongong. Thank you for your prayers last week at a barrel. Wollongong last night was the biggest one they've ever had. That was awesome. We were so blessed. God, it was just ridiculous. I'll share some of our stories in a little while. Thank you, Lord. I just pray for you right now. I pray for faith to be released where hopelessness is reigning. Where hopelessness is reigning in this room, I pray for faith to be released. I pray that the loving arms of the Father, that as Kat sang out, and the musicians last day, that you would find the gardener in the garden. How good was that? That when. Oh, she didn't know where Jesus had gone. And she meets a man that she thinks is a gardener. Because he looks completely different to when he was on the earth. Because he's resurrected. Oh, with hair as shining like white wool, with eyes of blazing fire. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love the Bible. You know, it calls Mary of Bethany. She's called the apostle to the apostles. How's that for your equal rights movement? To all those denominations who still think women are backwards, we just break that spirit in the name of Jesus. If Mary of Bethany was apostle to the apostles, how can we think anything else but Jesus is king? Thank you, Lord. We've got some Bibles in a box somewhere. People who want a Bible. I'm not sure where it is, but there's a box of Bibles somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Over at a resource table, we also have books for people that just got saved. So if you want to give out things for people that just got saved, let us know. Come to Kath and I, we've got some resources for that. Thank you, Lord. Just in this moment, can I have David Richard up front, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Get some people up here. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some people want to come up and lay down while you just do something for the Lord. Just want to be obedient to God and to my wife. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Father, we just take the axe. The heavy, heavy bladed axe, God, against every root in the name of Jesus. And we declare that these guys fly in Jesus' name. We honor them, Lord. And we thank you for a mother and father in the house that pursue your heart, God, and provide energy and space for us to soar. We just thank you for their lives, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
as all the things rage, Lord, against all of us, as they do against them, we command an axe to be taken, Lord, and break. Lord, it says that your word is like fire in our bones. That your word is coming out, shatters for us. So I pray now, Holy Spirit, you will come and shatter everything that wars against these two. Jesus. We honour the Lord as a mother and a father of the house. We thank you for their lives, Jesus. We lift them up to you, God. And we praise you, Father, for encounters and heavenly realm encounters, God. And Lord, I just command more expansion, Lord. Where at every full capacity, we declare more expansion in the name of Jesus. Lord, just greater vision. Lord, David, my God, has the biggest vision. I pray for more. Pour it out, God. I pray that he starts to encounter men high up in different realms, and he gives them the solution they're looking for their plan, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the bridges and intercessory gifts. I thank you, Father, for the anointing, Lord, to pray and see things happen. And so, Father, we honor them, Lord, as a mother and father in the house. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's good.
If you don't know me, this is normal, so don't be upset. Last night I spent most of the time with my eyes closed on the floor, just talking to people about Jesus. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. I like that the whole, you know, it says in the Bible that when two or more are gathered, we can ask anything. So last night we were asking for some ridiculous things. We were asking the Holy Spirit to go and fill churches where he's not wanted. We were asking the Holy Spirit to go and fill houses of ministers who hate him. We still believe it's Father, Son, Holy Bible. We are so thankful for the Bible, but we do not. The Bible is not anything compared to the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for breaking out in homes and houses, breaking out in churches, God, where they don't want you. But we're so excited to hear stories of whole congregations laid out in the Spirit because you decided to sweep in one morning or one afternoon. And we just thank you, Lord. So good. You know, I was up in Cessnock a few years ago, and it was so good. There was two people preaching at once. It was a strange occurrence. One person at the back and I was at the front preaching. We were both preaching. And at the exact same time, everyone in the church went flat. And I was standing up and so was the other guy. I said, what do we do now? He said, I don't know. And so we waited for 45 minutes. People were just blown out. And I was just like, what are you doing? And they got up all at the same time. It was just bizarre. And they started telling us about encounters they had and what God had been doing. And then on the way home, it was so good. We stopped at this rest stop on the side of the highway. And I got out of the car. And I think Catherine's not with me. I was with three other girls in the car who were doing ministry with. And so we got out of the car and we sat and had some time to eat. And this man, I saw this man in the corner, I'm thinking, this is a bit strange. And he's literally going, and he's had, you know, this Tibetan get up on. It's a bit hard to not miss a Tibetan guy, you know, you've got to get up on. And I just walked over him and I said, silence in the name of Jesus. He goes, on this. And I was like, that's good. These girls are freaking out. Anyway, I said, we probably should go now. We got in the car and we're driving. And I remember this, the Spirit of God hit the driver and she got baptized in the Spirit while driving. And to this day is moving in the power of God. It's the same person who got saved in Penrith Panthers car park after a late night out. You want to save people, go to Panthers at 2 a.m. They're easy to talk to because they've been piled with stuff all night. Hey, you got money? You ain't got real money. You want to know Jesus? Yeah, I'll do anything. Well, praise God. Well, you got to get excited about God and what he can do. And he can save people in Penrith's car park and then baptize them in the Spirit as they're driving. It was so good. She had to pull over multiple times on the way home. And the funny thing was, none of us even said, do you want us to drive?
Because we were just, and we came to Amy Blaine's, and suddenly hit the blood in the car, and I was just, we were just like, poof, we're all like, and she's doing this with the car, driving like this. So good. And we got out of home with Kat, and she's like, what have you been drinking? It was so good. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, very excited. Yeah, excited. I want to talk today about Ken, the next phase of what we're going in that is I always feel the Lord is saying we must prepare for what's coming before we get there. And we're not there yet, and I'm not saying there's a date we're going to be there, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about we are moving from being established to reigning. And I mentioned this about a year ago, and the Lord wants us to understand what it means to reign with Christ. That when you go from being established to reigning with Christ, you actually come into that, what the Bible calls a royal priesthood and a holy nation. So I want to communicate, if I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, something about reigning with Christ this morning. That we would prepare our hearts to reign with Him. And yes, we are reigning already as we're overcomers, but I mean, corporately, we would contend for our ability to reign with Christ. And so, I'm not sure where we're going to get to, but that's okay. And I just want to take this as it comes. And if the Lord interrupts me, that's okay. You know, last night I was just standing there at the end, and the Lord says, are you going to do what I said? And I'm like, maybe. And there's this girl at the back, and I said, hello, how are you? I don't know what I said. And I just prophesied that she was going to sing the song of heaven, and that she was a singer, and all these things about her life. Anyway, she just said everything was true. I didn't know she was a foster girl. She was homeless. I'm thinking, God, you're bringing people who are homeless and who are broken, and you're releasing these incredible things over their lives. And a family last night decided to take this girl in. And the crazy thing was, I didn't know any of this, but before I prophesied over her, there was a whole family that was mine, and I just prophesied over the whole family as being foreigners. They're going to go ahead and establish it for people to come in. And then she's going to their house. I was just like, what? And I want to encourage you that when the anointing of God is present, it's easy to minister. And I want to encourage you right now, as the anointing of God is here, just start to ask the Holy Spirit to move in you. Just ask for things you haven't asked for, maybe. Ask for things that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. I'm just going to do a little bit of activity with you now, a spiritual activity, because we've got to be spiritual church. I just encourage you to put your hands out. And if you don't want to do that, just put your hands out in your mind. Just like this, it's pretty simple. And I'm just going to ask God a real simple thing. I'm going to ask Him to give you presence out of His presence. You know, if we believe the treasury of heaven is open and available and full, you know, the treasury of heaven, when you're going to take something off, it just replenishes straight away. Oh, so good. Because there's no lack. And so, Father, I ask you now just to give gift boxes to your sons and daughters here. Just release it, Lord, and I pray that you would help them unwrap it. And you know what? Get excited like Christmas when you were a kid. Some of you may have experienced a bad Christmas. I pray as well that you would experience some joy in that. But I just ask now that the Holy Spirit would give you gifts. Maybe you're going to get a big box, a little box, maybe you're going to get three or four of them. And I pray that you'd have courage, as I speak today, to open them up and see what God has for you. Because it says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so, Lord, we thank you for presence in your presence. We thank you that you are a good, good Father, and that you give good gifts to those who love you. Lord, just thank you, Jesus. Lord, just thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to continue as you receive. You do whatever you need to do, amen. And might ask the people to share in a moment what they received. Thank you, Lord. You know, I woke up this morning. When you minister at night, I find something I've got to stay up when I get home. I'm too amped. So I got home, Catherine was sleeping about 12, and about 1:15 I was like, I probably should go to bed, I'm tired now. You can just feel your body come back down. And I went to sleep. I woke up, and as I'm waking up, the Lord says, I'm releasing more unity to you. And I said, what? I said, where, what? Like, as I'm waking up, it wasn't a dream. As I went to sleep, I'm releasing more unity to you. And then I had a dream a couple of nights ago about the same thing, and kept having a word about that, about unity. That's the key for us as a community, or as a koinonia, as a family, is that unity is the key. You know, in Acts chapter 3, we'll go there in a moment, it says this, it says that they were with one mind, one body, and one spirit, and they worshipped God. You know, when David Bridge and Kath and I had this ridiculous idea of church plant, I don't recommend it to anybody, unless God tells you to do it. We had this sense of linking arms together. Now, I'll just get David to come up here. I want to show everyone something. Is that if David and I walk down the street like this, that might get a bit weird. But it might be an opportunity for ministry. Don, to come on my side here. I want you to try and pull us apart, please. Come on, pull us apart. Now, I want Don to try and pull us apart now.
Get over it!
He's coming with me. That's unity.
Yeah, right.
Unity is the ability to go closer than you've ever been before, with the trust that comes not from you but from the Father. I wouldn't tell you all about but God wants to release the unity to us, and He wants to release the understanding of unity that happens inside and outside our home, and then flows into our church, and then flows out of us through other relationships we have, all the connections we have. If I think about this room, and you know, there's roughly about half of the normie that come here, about half of the normie come and stuff like that. And if I think about our families, I think about how many connections we have.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
And you are a steward of His kingdom to all those connections.
Yeah.
You know? Hodgie gets to see the best and worst of people as they're trying to, you know, get their finances sorted out for schooling. And he has the opportunity to just release grace. And release plans for people they can't see themselves. That's a gift of the Spirit. His ability, you know, in the financial realm is a gift of the Spirit. Don't deny the Holy Spirit a gift because it's not written in the Bible. Because the word gift was never there at the start anyway. It said, the Bible says, when you're being spiritual, these things can be present. And it wasn't these things are present for one person. These presents are all for everybody, and you can operate all them all the time. You know, in your own life, sometimes you'll have a really strong season of prophecy. And then you'll come out and think, oh man, I've just got such good discernment at the moment. You know? And what I want to come with unity as well this morning is this. I want to come with this thought that you need to know how good you are to God. You need to know how good you are to God. You know, when God looks at us, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's looking for Himself. You know, in our putridness, or just maybe my putridness, and in my disgrace, and in my disgust, in my flesh, the Lord looks at us, and He sees Himself. You know, in the book of Malachi, it says that the Father wants to see us as refined silver. And that translation of the word is the Father looks at you and looks into the mirror of you and sees Himself. And so I pray for us today that we would shake off all those thoughts that we are incredibly bad. Yet, you know what? I can speak for myself. I've done horrendous things. But they're under the blood. I once went through and looked at all the sins in the Bible. I think I've committed most of them, except for a couple. And I thank you, Jesus. But I know that when my Father looks at me, He's not looking at my disgust, He's looking at my image of Him. And that creates a unity. It creates a unity with you and the Father. And so as we think about frontiers in a moment, I want you to think about the fact that we are a unified people and we are unified with Him. That He has a plan and a unification for us that will take us far beyond anything we've ever dreamed, hoped, or imagined. So good. Well, Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, I want to speak about frontiers in a moment. A couple of years ago, maybe like three years ago, Lord gave me this vision, and he said, what new shores? And he gave out postcards to people about what, if you were with us then, what new shores? And what the question was, this is that, where are you headed and what new shore are you going to? And a few months ago, the Lord said to me, now I want you to go from new shores to frontiers. You've entered the land that you've got, and now I want you to frontier this land. And if you think about a frontier person, a person who goes after new frontiers, we can think of it as being really difficult and really hard. But the Lord wants to remind us that in Him all things are possible, and nothing is impossible without God. And that He wants to see us in frontier lands that look like this.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of a frontier now, like a desert, when I think of a desert, I see this.
Hallelujah.
You know, I was taught the wrong way in my early church walk. You know, being born again at the age of 24, where I met Jesus, He appeared to me. I was an atheist, and I was a person who raged against God all my life. I hated God. I said, I would go to bed going, I'm God. And then all of a sudden, one moment in Adelaide, of all the city of churches, that Jesus Christ encounters me. But I was taught that deserts are they're very parched places. You can't, deserts are bad. But I read the Bible, and Isaiah says this: you will make blooms in the desert.
Yes.
You will make gardens in the desert that people will come into and take sanctuary.
Yes.
You know, the word sanctuary, you might think, where did we get that name from? Sanctuary is an old term that was used in the Middle Ages. Anyone seen Les Mis?
No.
It's in Les Mis. And so if you were a criminal and you wanted to get out of going to jail, you could go to a where the monks live or the nuns live, and you could cry out, sanctuary! And they had to take you in by law. Oh, come on. What greater place is there for criminals to come into than the house of God? And at one stage, we were all criminals. Because the Bible says that we were all the enemies of God.
Amen.
But God wants us to be a place. Very particular people's instruments. Jesus wants to be a place that causes the people who are lost and in their criminalness to come into the house of God. They can cry out sanctuary and they can find a place in the desert. You ever been lost in the bush? Anyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Crofty and I, we once lost James.
Not
deliberately. 45 minutes later, we thought, should we call the police? It was night time, the middle of the bush. And you know what happened? James only took one slight turn to the wrong way. And he got lost in the bush at night. And as I remember that right now, I think about the fact that it's only one slight turn. But I guarantee you, if you take the wrong turn, he's there. Going, son, daughter, get stuck that way.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. You know, if you're an English nerd, I can't spell, but I love, I'm an English nerd. If I like the tenses, so present, past tense, but infinity, it means infinity tense. I will never leave for infinity. And I'll never forsake for infinity. It's called infinity tense. Only place in the Bible we have infinity tense. Isn't the Greek language awesome? Or the Aramaic, the Hebrew? And we have such a poor English language. The translation of the Bible is very bad in English. It's way better in Arabic or something like that. And I want to encourage us that as we go on this journey together today, that we would understand that a frontier is a place of this. No, it's a place. You know, just on that picture, right now, there's a worldwide problem with bees.
Yeah.
Right? Well, where are the Christians commanding the bees to come back? You have authority over all creation, the Bible says. I just thought about this then. Where's the Christian saying, I don't know, we'll pray for bees to come? We have way too many bees at our house. Maybe we send some somewhere else. Right? But we need to think about things in terms of our redemptive nature. You know, at the moment, will Donnie Trump bomb Iran? And will that start World War III? And what will happen to Israel? Well, regardless of what happens, he's coming and he's king. And I'm going to be happy about Jesus Christ returning to the earth. And I'm so upset that man's agendas are running. But the Lord looks and he says this, I laugh at the plans of men. So God says, and I pray for those men in power. Often I pray for them. I woke up one night in a dream and I've never met Vladimir Putin. Never met him. Maybe some of you have. And I was in a bunker with him and I was praying for him in a dream. I've never thought about him ever before in my life. And I was praying, and I know that the saints of God have authority over these things in the earth. If you ever get a chance to read an incredible book called Reese Howe's Intercessor, he will talk to you about the fact that World War II was won in the heavens, not by pilots, but by saints who were praying for God to intercept things. And so I pray for you as you think about what's happening in our world, that you would see it as gardens and you would see it as times to pray. There's an interesting thing about frontiers as well, is that they're places that are often uncharted. They're places that are often uninhabited by God. I share this story often, but a young man got so excited a few years ago. He said, I can't wait to get over to Bethel Church. I'm going to be a super prophetic evangelist, apostolic pastor. And I said, whoa, that's too much for me. And I said, you know what, if you bless that church, I honor that church, amen. But I said, why don't you go to Goulburn, New South Wales? He's thinking, yes. He said, tell me all about Goulburn, New South Wales. What's breaking out there? What's happening? What am I going to get involved in? I said, nothing. He looked at me like I was stupid. And I said, if I will pray to God. If he sends you to that church in America, praise God. But if he sends you to Tasmania, where they've just had this ridiculous festival of death, like, what are we praying for? To have a nice day or for the kingdom to come into the earth? And I want nice days, but I also want his kingdom to come into the earth. Let's start to pray for generations of people to be birthed to go into frontier lands. The places where he's not there, so he can rule and reign. You know, some of the frontiers you're going to go into are going to be churches. Some of the frontier lands you're going to go into are places where they think he's there. Some of the places you're going to go into, and you know what, some people call it the seven mountain model. All I'm saying is that God is saying, let's get a revelation, let's get a vision for frontier land. Let's get a vision for where he's not, and let's put something there in Jesus' name. I'm so proud of Barry and what he's doing in Wollongong. And for those who don't know, I've worked with that man for 11 years now. And I've walked with him when he's been at his lowest point. I've walked with him when he's been at his highest point. And I would say one thing is that when you walk in unity with people, that the most beautiful thing happens is that you start to stop looking at what they're bad at or what their insufficiencies are, and you start to pray for those things to come to pass. And then you don't tell them that, and then you see the things happen. I love a relationship like that, where we're close. Where we're close in a relationship, amen. Some of these haven't worked, but that's okay. That says, bring forth blooms in the desert. Renewal, that's one of our kingdom principles, is that if you're going to be a person looking for new frontiers, you're going to have a renewal heart. You're going to have to you're going to have to go into places that are full of destruction. You're going to have to say, listen, I haven't come here to judge anything. I've come here to bring renewal. And you are actually a transformational person. You know, the Bible says, that we have been transformed by the renewing of our minds. That word is metamorphosis. The easiest way to explain it is that, you know, the movie Transformers? That's what happened. You go off this little puny little carpet, to this huge transformer. The word metamorphosis there is you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word new creation The Bible says that you are a new creation. That word goes far beyond you becoming a Christian. It goes all the way, the root of the word is this, all the way to the cellular level of your body. All the way to the cellular level. Imagine that. The guy that I tracked with in America, who was a mega church preacher, the Lord said to him, he had his private jet, he had the gold duck pouring water into his bath, all that stuff, and the Lord said to him, walk away from it all. I want you to go to the woods of Alabama, and I'm going to give you a capacity of 300, that's it. He had a church of 30,000 people, and he just yielded and said, yes, Lord. Everyone said that he was off his head. You've gone, you've lost the plot, everything. Anyway, he shares a story of a woman who came into his church, and she had been in jail for murder. In jail, she got born again and got saved. She came out, and there was other crimes that they tried her for. But when they charged her again, her DNA was different. Wow. You tell me that didn't happen. Well, I believe that God can do anything.
Yeah.
And I believe that woman believed that she had a new creation, and so be it. You see, we're going to start to see people, even today, we're going to start to see people that are going to have a transformation and a changing from the inside out at the very cellular level. At the very cellular level. And if you know someone who needs a breakthrough, you just pray for them. We pray for people like, you ring up someone on the phone. We'll pray for them. Last night was so good. On the way down to the car, Kath was driving, bless her. And so we're driving, and I just fall asleep. And about 15 minutes later, one of the kids is saying, Dad, and I wake up. And the Lord said to me, Susan, she needs healing. I said, okay. So I wrote it down. Anyway, in the service, I said, where's Susan? She needs healing. No one responded. Okay, fair enough. A man, at the end of the service, a man walks up, and he said, my wife's name is Susan, and she's got two broken feet. I said, okay, can you remember? So we recorded it, we prayed over the phone for her, and we see her healed. You know, God is a God that wants you to understand that He's not looking for you to do things all the same all the time. He has a pattern and a structure, amen. But He's looking for people that have ears to hear and eyes to see what He's doing. Amen. Renewal takes us to a place in John chapter 11 where you can go up to things that are dead and He can cause life to come again.
Yes.
You know, I love when Jesus gets to Lazarus' body. I love it. He says this. He says, he's praying to the Father, I'm just going to pray out loud so they can hear me. Like he prays out loud so that we can hear him or his disciples could hear him. He didn't need to pray out loud. He just thought, Lord, just do it. I'm just doing this for them. I'm not showing off, I'm just doing it for them. And then I love what he says. He says, Lazarus, what does he say? Come forth. Right? Come forth. And then I love this next part. Jesus says then, unbind him and what? Let him go. You know what? How good is Jesus, right? He didn't even say, Lazarus, come to me. I need you to come to me, Lazarus. I need to take credit for this miracle. Everyone needs to see that this is the miracle that I did. Jesus is so humble that he actually resurrects a man that he was his great friend, the Bible says, and then says, let him go. Like he's got other stuff to do. Like, what is he going to do? He's got resurrected. Give me something to eat. He's been dead for 4 days. But that causes us to think about renewal in one way. Renewal is not about being big. Renewal is about being humble. And I believe that as we grow in humility, that we will grow in renewal. As we grow in humility, we will grow in renewal. If you look at all the accounts of when Jesus ministered to someone, I love blind Bartimaeus. Is it being blind in their life? Yeah, I've been blind. You know, I couldn't see nothing for 24 years. Amen. I've been blind. Amen. And blind Bartimaeus, we do cry, doesn't he? What do the disciples have to do? And he just persisted, amen. And I guarantee you that when you get into the realm of persisting, you get like that woman. In Luke chapter 18, who harassed the judge so much that he said, woman, I'm going to give you justice, not because I want to, but because I want you to stop harassing me. And then he goes on and says a greater promise. He says, this, how much more will I give to those who love me? So what's he teaching us? That when we go into frontier lands and we're looking for renewal, he wants us not only to be unified, but he wants us to have hearts that hunger for him. and consistently ask for Him. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, you know, I've prayed that once, that's enough. Yeah, that's true in the Bible, but also there's a thing where you build prayer, where you build persistence, where you build persistence, where you build brick by brick, precept by precept, the Bible says. And I'm totally for the one prayer stuff, amen. But I'm also for where we build together, where we build these things together. Just having a good time.
Yes, good.
And if you're on Facebook, which I'm not, you can see the things I've been writing this week about these three things for our community. Revival is such a dirty word in church because it's been actually so misused and so abused. But I want to bring a reconciliation to revival this morning. And I want us to understand that as we are frontier people, we'll have three key things for us to come to you: renewal, revival, and revelation. Revival has nothing to do with some televangelist saying, "In 6 seconds, you're going to give me $1,000 for the ministry." That's not revival. Nor is revival something where people think God's there, but they maybe don't know. Revival starts from the inside out. When you wake up in the morning, you are being revived. The psalmist says, "I'm revived by the Lord." I'm all for corporate moves of God, and I've seen them, and I've been in them, and I love them. And we're in one right now for the last few years. But I want to encourage us not to think about revival as a destination or a place, but revival as an inner burning. Because the Bible says this, is that if Andy and Michael are burning together, their hearts will burn. As Matt and Rach burn together in their marriage, not only are the kids going to be blessed, they're going to be blessed, but everyone around them is going to encounter God. Because revival is from the inside out, not the outside in. And I'm happy to pray for impartation to the Lord allows that. Amen. You know, when I went, I'll just give you an example. So the first time I preached at a church that wasn't my local church, I was sent to Gilgandra in New South Wales. Now, no one knows, but I used to go to Gilgandra as a kid with my dad on the train. I used to go out there and shoot 303s and ride motorbikes and that stuff. And so I get to go back to Gilgandra and I get to preach the gospel. And when I went there, before I left, my senior pastor at the time said to me, Lakeland revival has broken out, I want to go. And I said, I'm going. I said, I haven't got any money, Cap, we haven't got any money, we've got like $10, that's about it. But we're not going anywhere. Amen. And so I go to Gilgandra, which was a frontier land. I get there, and the preacher says to me, the first thing I go, how are you, how's it going? He said, well, he goes, Jezebel's here. I said, not for long. Imagine meeting someone, that's the first thing they say to you. Not, hi, how are you going, thank you for coming, Jezebel's here. Because the focus on the enemy and not the Lord is what will take you where you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And so we preach. Oh, sorry, before I preach, the Lord said to me, so we get billeted with this family, beautiful people. He was a canola farmer. Oh, man, 16-hour days in the field. I thanked God for everything I was doing. The Lord said to me, so we packed our stuff at the house. The Lord said to me, go down to the riverbed. I said, yeah, so Catherine, go to the river. She's like, whatever, like, okay, no worries. So I go to the riverbed, the Lord says, pound the riverbed. I said, what do you mean? I said, it's dry. He said, pound the riverbed, okay? So I hit the riverbed, keep hitting it. I said, oh, this is the Bible. Keep hitting it, keep hitting it, keep striking it. And he said, now pray for the four winds of heaven to come into the city. I said, okay, four winds of heaven, come in. Nothing happened. Well, that's a good prayer. Anyway, we woke up the next morning, this gale of course winds. Pull it. You don't know what's going on here. Anyway, on the way out, I had looked at how much a ticket would be to get to Lakeland, Florida. On the way out, a lady who we stayed with, her and her husband, gave me a check for ministry. Now, I don't ever do that. Like, if you want to bless me, that's fine, but I never ask for anything. And I open it up, and it's the exact dollar amount of my air ticket. I ring my senior pastor, so I'm going to Lakeland. He said, you don't have any money. I said, yes, I do. Anyway, I get home, and I'm booking the ready to book the tickets. The next day, he goes down to his post office box, and there are five $1,000 checks with no sender on them. Just appeared in the post office box. He rings me and says, I'm coming. And we were at Oakland the next day. Next day? We left the next day. Yeah, 2 days later. But what I want to say about revival is this. You know, God TV's there, there's ridiculous miracles happening, but I met the most dysfunctional leaders in the body of Christ. People that are on TV right now that I mention their names. Who would say, well, who would sit next to me, and I'm some young punk Aussie. Next to me, and they just break down, tearing. My third marriage is finished. My wife has left me for a basketball player. My kids are on heroin. Like, dysfunction. And the most interesting happened, and I honour the Spirit of God that moved in that place. But what I learned from this experience is that revival is not a location. It's an inner burning. You know, the whole time that Todd Bentley was moving in that revival, his wife had a broken leg on the stage the whole time. And then it came out afterwards that he messed up his marriage. And he's been restored now, which is, praise God. But he's called the ministry, his marriage split up. And he actually is with the person he was with without her. But the other reason I mention this is that revival is not a place where it's all fun and games all the time. Revival is an inner burning first. And when you hear, oh, we're in revival, we're in this, you know, there's movements at the moment in Australia that say, oh, I want 100,000 souls, I want 200,000 souls. What about we want the nation for Jesus? The Bible says that a nation can be saved in one day. Would that look like everyone wakes up saved? Oh, yes, there it is, that's it. And so I want us to contend, as we think about revival, we're not thinking about revival as a place or a thing, we're thinking about it from the inside out. When I wake up in the morning, I'm revived by you. Everything I need to experience, I can experience with you right now, Jesus. I want to hang out with my Christian friends. I want to hang out with the world. I want to go to church because it's good to do those things, but I want an inner burning. You know, years ago, the Lord said to me, retreat to my holy mountain and pray. I said, why? I'm doing heaps of it. And he said, private burning creates public combustion. I said, what? He said, go to the secret place, just hang out there, and then I will release you. And so what we're doing in terms of leadership at the moment is we're... Yes, Paul? Thank you, Jesus. Leadership is interesting, right? Is that when someone is, a young person especially, is burning on fire for God, I said, I want to hide you in this. Because I want them to do the thing that I didn't do. I want them to find character. I want us to find character rather than gifting. The gifts and calls are without repentance. Isn't that crazy? But character's not. And so I pray for us as we're reviving, as we're asking God to pour out His Spirit, that He would pour out character in us. That we would be so filled with character, so filled with the character of God, that just maybe the character of God would stand alongside the gifts of God. And we would see that lining up precept by precept. Amen. I'm getting excited about Jesus. And this one here, if you don't know, I love flowers. If I could do anything, I'd be a florist. If that could pay all my bills, I'd be a florist tomorrow. I love flowers. You think I'm a weirdo, that's okay. I love flowers. That's it. Revelation, a hidden treasure, a holy pursuit. I want to bring a quick correction to Revelation. You know, people are walking around going, I've got this nugget of revelation. First and foremost, revelation is His, and you're a broker of it. I spoke a few months ago about you are a kingdom broker. Everywhere you go, you're brokering the kingdom of God. Whether you're in a transaction in business world, or a transaction in church, or a transaction in your family, wherever you are brokering God's kingdom. That's who you are. You're a broker of God's kingdom. And I want to bring a correction to Revelation. Revelation is so beautiful. It says this in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 7, I think it is. It says this, that we will be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of Christ Jesus. I love the fact that so many people are getting visions. I love that. I love the fact that people are getting revelations from God. But what I pray for us, when we get those things, we would take them to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and ask them to breathe life on them. You know, the Mormon religion, that's huge. Tens of millions of people across the earth follow the Mormon religion. And it was birthed out of a visitation, a vision, a revelation. But what the man did with the revelation was wrong. He actually took it as, he didn't check it with God. And so the revelation that he actually made in his own book about it, the Book of Mormon, and he put himself in the Bible. Pretty of an error. And what I encourage you is that when you receive a revelation from God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you how you're going to release this. What do you think about this? What are you doing with this? Before we're singing the song this morning, Melody comes out of vision. Said, okay, what did you see? She goes, I see Jesus come out and breaking chains today. I said to her, you got to share this. She goes, I'm not sharing that. She goes, you can do it. She goes, you're the one who talks, you can do it. Said, amen. So if you're sitting in here and you need the chain broken, and she said that Jesus was coming today to break the chain. Now a kid is a kid. Then last night we're at the church. Ivory and Melody praying for people with me and Kat. And Melody does, she had a vision. I said, okay, what did you see? She goes, I saw a river. And on each side of the river, there were trees lying in the river. I said, oh, well, she goes, there were rocks. Okay, and we told people that. Oh, well, it explains them to them, it was for them, for the church there. But what I'm saying is that when we get into a place of revelation, let's not throw it out straight away. Let's keep it, let's receive it. When you're a frontier person, renewal. People are attracted to renewal. People are attracted to revival. Who doesn't want more of the good stuff of God? No one. And people are attracted to revelation. You know, I love the fact that the Bible wasn't around for the first 20 years of the church. 22, 23 years of the church, there was no Bible. They had nothing. They had the Holy Ghost. And when we get our Bible, and we're like, oh, I'm so glad I've got a copy of the Bible. This is a copy of a word of mouth. This was breathed by God to men and women and breathed back out to us. You know, I love John on the Isle of Patmos. Wouldn't you be thinking, listen, I'll make it nice for him. I'll put him in a really plush place. I'll get a four-poster bed, get him some grapes, some of that good wine. He can have a little bit of that. And then when he's really relaxed, I'll give him revelation. That the Father sends him to the Isle of Patmos. Go and find out what Patmos means, you'll be so surprised, right? And sends him to the Isle of Patmos, and one recollection is this, they tried to burn him with oil, but he didn't burn. What do you mean? Wait a second, you look at the, I have these books of the martyrs, from all the way through from the first century. Oh. And he has his encounter, and then all of a sudden it says, and on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit. Because he was so used to his environment not affecting him. He was so used to his environment not affecting what he was doing. And Paul said himself, doesn't he? Paul the Apostle says this, whether I've had lack or I've had abundance, you're the same. And I want us to get an understanding of revelation. That when the Lord reveals things to us, that we would be brave and have courage to share them and then release them. Because the Father said to the Son, who said to us through the Spirit, Jesus is going to reveal things to you that weren't written in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. That one of the Holy Spirit's jobs, if you say, he's my boss, right? I love that you say, people say, who's your boss? His name's Yeshua HaMashiach. That means Jesus, if you don't know him in the Jewish language, they say, oh, what's he like? Really rich. So where does he live? Oh, well, he lives in two places at once. How does he do that? Oh, he buy my case. You just keep going on with people. It's so good. You just get excited by it. But what I want to encourage you about with Revelation is that God is looking always to reveal himself. Reveal himself in ways. Reveal himself in ways that you wouldn't even imagine. Reveal himself in ways that you think that doesn't mean anything to anyone. Now, last night, the Lord said, there's a man sitting on this side of the church, and the Lord said to me, just tell him about V8 supercars. I said, what? Are you serious? What? What does this mean? And so then the Lord gave me some of the details. Anyway, I said to him, I just got to stop talking. I said, the Lord said to me to say to you, V8 supercars. He just goes, oh, and his wife's like, that's good. I mean, this kid, promise like, but sometimes the things you're going to receive are going to be odd to you, but they're not odd to God.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, as you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, or as you operate in being spiritual, that you remember that you are always renewing, you are always reviving, and that you are always bringing revelation. Because you are called to be a frontier person. Maybe that frontier is next door. You know, the other day our neighbour comes over with Kath, and he's like, "Hey, you going? Yeah, good. I started reading Wild at Heart." So that's good. So he starts reading Wild at Heart. Now he's doing a Bible study every morning. He hasn't asked me whether to help him with the Bible or not, because I don't, you've got to be sensitive to people. He's my neighbour. I love this man. You know, but the greatest thing happened, oh, praise God, 2 weeks ago, on a Tuesday, driving home, hit the Lapton Hill. Oh, I tell you the backstory, but it's real funny. Can we be fun in church or not?
Yes.
It should be the most fun place in the world.
Yeah.
You walk into some churches, how you going? Jesus is probably alive. On the Monday afternoon, my friend who's a mechanic, he said, just bring your car over, I'll do it once over, have a look what needs to be fixed. Perfect. Go over there, 1 hour later after we had a revival meeting. He's been saved, he's not saved at the moment, but I believe he's going to be saved. Whatever you believe about that. I just listened to his heart. He checked my whole car over. He goes, there's a tiny leak in the oil, nothing serious. I'll just clean it up for you. He goes, the car's perfect. I said, no, it's not perfect. He goes, no, that's fine, I'll get it working back, you'll be fine. Lapsed the hill the next day on the way home. Boom! Freaking smoke everywhere. Water. I'm not talking about a little bit of water. I'm talking about every bit of water that was in that car. And if you like, I'd spill up a little bit over the full mark. Just a little bit, you know. I get to the lapsed the netball courts, and all of a sudden, boom, again. I think this is going to blow, I'm going to get down. So I get out of the car, I open the bonnet, the radiator, it's perfect. Where the heck is this water? I looked over the engine. The exact place where he checked everything was fine was now a huge crack in the actual bottom of the engine. I don't know how this happens. Anyway, the backstory is this. Our other car was in the mechanics getting fixed at the same day. I rang Kath. I said to Kath, my car just blown up. She's like, no, it didn't. Don't be funny. Like, I haven't even had a car back yet. I'm like, no, the car just blew up. She's like, oh my goodness. I'll come and get you. Then she gets a word from the Lord, maybe ask our neighbour who's driving home. So I message him. He says, yeah, no problem, I'll pick you up in 45 minutes. So I've got all my stuff out of the car, the plates, everything like that. And I'm just praying, Lord, come on, this is going to be for some reason. You know, there was not even one iota of me being upset about this, for some reason, supernatural, right? Because I knew there's a frontier moment happening. And I've never sat in this man's car with him before. So he works for Mercedes-Benz. This is just such a funny story. So my car is blown up on the side of the road. He picks me up in a brand new $200,000 Mercedes-Benz. This is the way you're going to. I got into the seat and it adjusted the height to my weight. This is good. And then the seat like this. The seat goes, and I'm like, and he goes, that's the good position. So I buy everything. Anyway, we get talking about life. He's talking about how I've got advice for his daughter and all this and that. And praise God, and I believe the Lord did those things, allowed those things to happen. So then we could minister to this man who now is doing a Bible study in the morning. And hopefully be here at church soon.
Amen.
But like, what? Who is this God? Who is this God that we follow? That is always putting you, each of you in this room, is always putting you into a frontier moment. Is always putting you to a place of revival and renewal and revelation. Is always giving you everything you need. So on the way home, Kat said to me, how much did you prepare for last night? I said, usual, like this, like usual. She goes, oh, so nothing. And I mean, in terms of, like, thick note-taking, right? Sometimes it happens, but normally, I just do it in my everyday life. Because I've come to an agreement with Jesus. This is the agreement between me and him. It's more for me, not for him. Is that if you are my father and I am your son, and if you are my king and I'm your servant, and if you are the spirit and you are in me, then I'm not going in and out of you all day. I'm not, him, 9 o'clock is Jesus time, 9:30 is not. I'm just experiencing God. And I encourage you to say, that's not an arrogant statement, that we would get to a place where we just experience God. I hardly visionary. Oh, what do I need to pray about? I'm just walking. Jesus, oh, look at that. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. Lord, pour it out, God. Do this over here. Do this over there. Do this over here. Do this over there. Someone encourage us this morning that we are frontier people. That we are people who are full of renewal, full of revival, and full of revelation. And God is expecting us to take up the cross and follow Him. He's expecting us to pour ourselves out like an offering. What does that look like? Where Paul says, oh, listen, I want to taste and fellowship with your sufferings. That's what Jesus said through Paul. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask this morning, as we come and as we have ministry time and as we speak to each other, as we testify about what you're doing, Lord, that we would see a great abundance of your Spirit come. We are thankful, Jesus, for every single thing you're doing in our lives. Lord, I just say it right now. We're thankful for the blessings we've forgotten. We're thankful for the blessings we don't even see. We're thankful for the blessings we don't even recognize. We are so thankful this morning, Jesus. And so I want to invite people to testify. What I want to do is something really different. If you're going to share a testimony this morning, I'd love you to stay up here, and then you're going to actually make the ministry team today. You're going to be the only ministry team. I don't know how to pray, I don't do that. It's very easy. What do you need? Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. That's about it. It's what you do. It's not too difficult. You know, when you're born again, evangelism is so easy. I meet Michael for the first time. Right? He goes, "G'day, how are you going?" And he asks me how I'm going. So good. Why are you so good? Oh, I met Jesus. Do you want to meet him now? What? Now? Yeah. Come on, lay hands on me. And Jesus comes and empowers people. Oh, how are you going? How's your day been? And they say, oh, it's terrible. Well, it's about to get really good. Why is that? Well, because I know a man and he's really, really, really into you. And that'll mess him up, babe. I'm like, this evangelism is good. How are you going? That seems, yeah, pretty good, thanks. And you tell them, oh, I'm so in love with a man. They say, his name is Jesus and he's king. Do you want to meet him? When can I meet him? Now. How can I meet him? Well, let me pray for you. And then you ask Bishop to pray for you, pray for him. Amen. It's not difficult, evangelism, when you're born again. Let's be encouraged this morning to testify to God to say that we're going to release the ministry. And then we're going to have some awesome lunch together, hang around. If you haven't been here before or you don't know what's happening, we normally go for about 4 hours. You can come and go wherever you. We bless you if you want to come and go. We bless you if you just want to go. We hope you come back. If you don't, we love you. And we thank Jesus for what he's doing in your life and your kingdom life. But we're so excited about Jesus in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as we bring people to testify to us. So if you'd love to share a testimony of what Jesus has done, please come up and we will get a microphone to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a testimony about my youngest brother. So he turned 31 in hospital, and he was in hospital for open heart surgery. He has, his heart is, when he was born, his heart was, totally deformed. So his heart's on the wrong side of his body, round the wrong way, ticked backwards, and it pumps blood around the wrong way of his body. So it's incredible that he's alive. And he had heart surgery. The surgeons were absolutely amazed that he was actually still walking. And it was just the most amazing experience because God, I really believe, like there were so many people praying, God just really got the surgeons with what they needed to do. The surgeons went into the operation saying, I don't know. He said to Lee, I can do parts of this operation, but your heart is so crazy and strange, I don't know if I can do it. So we didn't know if he was going to survive, but he did. And he's walking and amazing. We do call him the dead man walking at the moment because he's still very white.
Lazarus.
Yes. And he's totally. And he actually ticks now, like they put a mechanical valve inside. They had to like go through his heart, cut it open. I think they cut it open, like freeze his heart, cut it open. And his pulmonary valve is actually inside his heart instead of outside. So they actually had to put the valve inside his heart. So he actually, like he's on his side, beats, like he can hear him ticking when he's there next to him. So cool. And if he watches the football, it goes like a grenade. But my little tiny testimony and that whole big testimony of like just how amazing is that God's got him alive and he's here doing so well is that my little son, who's five, was in the car with me driving to the hospital one day and he's just said, Mommy, when the nurses cut Uncle Lee's heart in half, did they find Jesus? And I just said yes. So I just think like we could pray for people that have heart conditions if they have something.
Thank you. Amen. I'll really set up here. Amen. Anyone else like to share anything?
Let's go.
Michael, I just want to share a testimony of a friend of mine. A few guys know him, Gary, and a few other boys know him. His name is Mel. He was pretty special to me. He was like a mentor in many ways. But just on reflection this week, what he's meant to me and how he served the Lord sort of really opened up my eyes, because I had all this stuff happen to me and life turned around now because of the revelations that I got from Jesus. And I always at the start I received all these words of prophecy, and I just, it built me up and I just like went after him like with a vengeance, like ferociously would eat all the words that Jesus would give me, because I thought, yeah, I'm going to serve you and nothing's going to stop me from fulfilling that word. So I had all these words and I didn't know how it was going to happen. But I know that God, led this man to open up the door and what doors of opportunity to make that word happen, And it made me realise that, he was a servant of the Lord. He was a servant of the word of the Lord, of the prophecies of other people. So I was, I'm very selfish for the words out of my life. I go after them, but then I just realised that, there's a higher level of servitude, like the highest honour of servitude is to make other people's words happen, to make a way for them. That's like a son would go, oh, give me all the words, I want them now, I want to eat them, and nothing's going to stop me from fulfilling it, but a father will go and make the words happen for his son. So I just declare everyone, a higher level of servitude, the highest honour. There's plenty of opportunity out there. You're all in a sphere of authority and you can make things happen over people's lives. The words that God's declared over their lives, you can serve God by making sure his word happens. Not just for yourself, for other people, because it's about serving your brother and your sister.
That's good. That's good. Anything else?
Hey everyone, Chad and I just got back from the UK. We've been over there for 6 weeks. It's the longest holiday we've ever had, and it's going to see family, and it was really good. I just want to give is just how great God is, how he just keeps blessing you in those moments, even before you've even thought about of what you need. And it was just provision after provision after provision that God was just blessing us with. We just about had money for flights and stuff and accommodation, and we would arrange for family. We were going to stay with family, and it ended up that Chaya's cousin moved out of her home so that we could stay there. That's awesome. And I don't know if you know much about English homes, but generally most of them are quite small, so it was quite a blessing to have that. And then there was further stuff like we didn't really have enough money to hire a car. It's really expensive to hire a car over there. And her uncle had sourced from a friend a car that we could hire. It was Mondeo, perfect size for us. You know, huge boots, we can get everything in. And it was £10 a day. It was an absolute bargain. And then there was another thing of, oh, we could do that, but we need insurance for it. And you can't get insurance over there at first. And then we found out that we could get insurance through them. So it was great. And then another thing happened is that we got to Guernsey, where my dad started from. And we'd been put up in a holiday apartment, and that was for 10 days. And then the last 4 days, we were going to be staying at dad's place. The only thing was, we got to dad's place, and he's converted the loft. And you've got like these skylight windows, but there's no blinds or curtains. And over there at the moment, it's summer, it's the opposite season of here. And so, you know, it doesn't get dark until like 9:30, 10 o'clock sort of thing. It's like, what are we going to do with the kids? You know, they're going to be up all night long. We're never going to get some time alone or work some sleep sort of thing at this rate. Anyway, I think, Chad will have to correct me on this, but I think it was that her brother offered, you were on holiday, and he texted me on Facebook and saying, had offered to give us some holiday money just so we had some extra money, because we didn't have the money to pay for further like accommodation sort of thing. And then I think he'd offered it before we had that, before we found out this really isn't going to work staying here at my dad's place for those 4 days. And it turned out he blessed us with the money, the exact money that was needed for the accommodation for the next 4 days. And we're like, oh, thank you. Because there was also, yeah, there was other reasons why it just wasn't going to work out there. And it was, I don't know about you, but you know when you go away on holiday, and if you've got like heaps of money saved in your account, you go, yeah, we can just go wild nuts, it doesn't matter, we don't have to worry or stress or anything. Or other times we go away on holiday and you've got like a set budget. It's like, oh, do we do this, do we do that? Or, you know, maybe we won't go out for lunch. We'll make some packed lunches, we'll go to the supermarket and make some sandwiches because we need to save the pennies sort of thing. And it was just such a, it was such a holiday where it wasn't being careless, but it was just going, you know what, let's not worry about whether we've got enough money for it, let's just go do it, because we've only got this holiday right here, right now. And it's just such a blessing from God to have that over us, because I can be a bit of a stress head when it comes to finances sometimes. But it was, yeah, it was just such a blessing with that. We just kept getting provision after provision from God. So, and all it was just, you know, just wake up in the morning, thank you Jesus, thanks for this holiday, and that was it, you know. And maybe once or twice, but yeah, we could do with some money, God. But it was like there even before we said it, you know. He already had it in the pipework going, it was already in his plan even before we were getting on our knees and praying for it. So yeah, just wanted to give that testimony, thank you Jesus.
I just wanted to give a sermon what Mel saw this morning, because I was reading my Bible this morning, and God said, the word of God breaks chains. And so we prayed that in our prayer meeting with Alec, and so if you need the chains broken, so an angel come down and just slap them. So come and get some help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So yeah, last night I was just sitting on the couch and I'm shaking, getting nervous. And basically, yeah, just put together a bit of a prayer for the church that the Lord put on my heart.
Preach about a sin.
And then, yeah, it's funny when I get here, I was like, oh yeah, I might say, I might share, or see what happens. But then, yeah, it was funny, like, Kat said the words, Kings of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that, funny enough, was in a prayer, those words. And then speaking of breaking chains was also mentioned.
Wow.
And then, funny enough, when Dave and Ads moved arms, as a community, was also in it. So I was kind of like,
obedience.
And then I tried one more trying to get out of it. I said, you've got to say it. I said, if Ads mentions, we'll do testimonies, then I'll say it. And then he's probably right, just a few words, prayer that the Lord gave me for us. So no matter what situation you may be facing right now in life, remember, you are never alone. The Lord loves you just as you are. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to have everything together, just be you. Jesus wants you just as you are here today. I promise you he is bigger than any situation or problem you're facing right now. I pray you have faith to believe you are more than who the enemy would have you believe you are at times. Don't buy into the lies that you're not good enough. You will never amount to nothing. You are a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. A beautiful Jesus Christ. Every day you wake up, you put on your spiritual armour of God, you stand up and you fight. You take a stance. You lock in and link arms with other brothers and sisters in our community as we fight as one. Never give up. We fight from victory. The enemy is already defeated. Don't buy into his lies. Let today be the day that reminds you that the love and the blood of Jesus is more powerful than any scheming enemy can stir up in your life. Break the chains off, whatever it is that is holding you back and stopping you being the best you that you can be. You are a child of God. Never forget that. Be blessed.
It's good. So good. Thank you. So we'll get these guys to pray in a minute. If I'm just replying here, you want to come? Oh, sorry. So Christy will pray for healing. Dom will pray for serving. James is going to pray for provision. Jazz is going to, thank you, Lord. He's going to pray for visitations from heavenly hosts. And Jace is going to pray for people who need something in their mind or their heart, just some pastoral thing happening. Anyone else wants to pray as well? I just feel the Spirit saying a few things before we do that, so we might. Can you do some good? Is that right? Huh? Thanks so much. Let's chat with you. Thank you, Lord. Scott, you can have a chat, would you? Jeff, can have a chat. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, just flowing to the Holy Spirit. Now, our ministry time is always about togetherness. It's not about people and other people. So Father, we just declare in the Spirit for many weeks now, I've seen Holy Spirit, there's this huge, you've been planting in a dry riverbank for the last 2.5 years, the Lord says. There's been this planting, and you've been consistently planting, and you've been saying to the Lord, when is the time? And you've been planting plants, and the reason you've been planting plants in the dry riverbank is because you know that when he pours it out, it's going to be able to sustain the water. See, a lot of people build riverbanks and the water flood through it, but it washes and erodes away. But because you planted in a place where it's been difficult and dry, the Lord says, now you can sustain what I've given you. And then I saw a huge dam wall. It would have to be at least 300 metres high. And you just went up with a tiny little hammer and you just tapped it, all of a sudden it just blew down. And the Lord says to you, now what you've been contending for the last 2.5 years, he has poured out this morning. And so, Father, we thank you for Chaya. We thank you for the gift she is to the body. But, Lord, we thank you for the gift she is to the world. And we pray, Lord, that you pour out, Lord, through her, that she will be sustained. She would see us sustained through your Spirit from here to eternity in Jesus' name. We're thankful, Father, for women who pray and plant. We're thankful, Father, that you are going to show her all the abundance of your house. And so, Father, we just release that over her life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. The Lord will remind you, Karen.